Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Another beautiful morning in Jacksonville. 3-2 Jaguars getting ready to take on the 3-2 Rams. A big game at Everbank Field. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Hi, I'm Brian Sexton. We've got a big show for you over the next 30 minutes. The head coach is right around the corner. We've got big things, Ozone Snapshot, and the third installment of He Will, He Won't, He Might. Good morning. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good.
You know, playing at home has a decided advantage for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not on the road.
Which is really what matters.
Well, right. In one sense. And only this is that you get on the road, you know, you go on Friday or you know, go on Thursday for London or whatever. It's not like you're gone for a month. But for these guys to have a chance to actually sleep in their own bed all week and to be home, well, that's a great advantage for them too.
Well, it's a big deal. And at some point, I know Doug will talk about it, you've got to turn that advantage into winning at home and establishing, you know, it's great for the fans, but for the team to accomplish what it wants to accomplish, history tells you you need to win at home. The great teams are usually 8-0, 7-1.
You're getting too far ahead because you're into big things now. I just want you to talk about how you're happy to sleep in your own bed.
I love sleeping in my own bed.
Okay.
That's important, too.
Time now for big things, and that means Ashlyn Sullivan. We get started right out of the gate with the home sweet home thought, don't we?
Yes, it is home sweet home. Now, this alarming statistic, the Jags are 9-30 in their last 39 home games. The guys, 9 wins. That's pretty bad. So what are they going to do on Sunday when the team comes home? That's what I want to know.
Well, so now you think this is being overplayed this week?
Well, it's bad, but it's not like it's an outlier compared to what this team's done everywhere. I mean, people are making a big deal of it this week. You need to win at home. You need to do it in front of the home fans, and they do. But this team has struggled everywhere. So there seems to be this idea that there's this hex about Everbank for this team. Oh, we don't play well at home. They haven't played well anywhere. Under Doug Marrone, they're 1-1 at Everbank.
Yeah.
They're 2-1 at home if you count London. They're fine. They need to get better, but I don't see this as something they've got to break. I don't think it's in their head, so to speak.
Now, did you see, drill down on this just a little bit, because I think it's got a more specific purpose. Did you see Doug's postgame last week? Did you see where he talked about in the locker room, where he talked about we talked about not missing opportunities today in Pittsburgh. We took advantage of our opportunities, was what he said. So I think the reason that the home field thing is at least an issue as far as I'm concerned is winning at home is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sleeping in your own bed more, being in front of your own fans, you know, not having to get on the road and travel and have your body be stressed like that. This is an opportunity, and they haven't taken enough advantage of the home games.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
They need to establish it, and they've got 7 here in Everbank Field now. So realistically, you need to turn that into a 6-1 type thing. They're already 0-1, so if they're going to go 6-1, they need to get started.
All right. Back to Ashlyn for big thing number 2 before we welcome the head coach in on Jags Drive Time. What do you got, Ashlyn?
So dominant personalities, and this came units that stand out, the running game and the defense. Last week against the Steelers, they were so prominent that they basically won the game. And this week, they are so critical, they have to be present again.
You're right. And it's those dominant personalities that you've talked about. You've used the word formula
mm-hmm.
all throughout the course of the first month of the season.
Well, and I've said a couple times this week, when I look at a good NFL team, I try to figure out why they're good, what they can take everywhere and be the best thing in the game. And when I look at the Jaguars' defense, its ability to create turnovers, its ability to swarm, its ability to disrupt, it's become a thing that I feel like going into most games, that thing I just talked about was the most important thing in that Pittsburgh game that either team had. It was the most important thing in the Houston game. It was the most important thing in the Baltimore game. In the fourth quarter against the Jets, it almost won the game. So that's a strength. It's a hammer you can bring. If you combine that with a good running game, it's dangerous. Now, if a team can do something to counter that, then they're in trouble. But as long as they can play that formula, they're good.
Well, you know, in 24 years of doing this, you see teams that have a dominant personality, mm-hmm. right? It's what they do on defense. Or the Colts teams that you covered with what Peyton Manning could do in the passing game. Last week in Pittsburgh, it just struck me that this team had two dominant personalities, right? The first was the defense, and I've used this example already. Third quarter, they take the lead 9-7. Jags go three and out, and I'm thinking, like a lot of fans are probably this is the point where over the last couple of years, things have turned south. Defense goes out, and I'm thinking, all right, let's see what this defense is made of. Well, they don't just stop them. Telvin intercepts and takes it back for a touchdown. Six plays later, Barry Church does it.
Right.
I mean, that was very forceful.
A Telvin Smith play has a chance to be a turning point for this franchise.
It was a dominant moment for the defense, okay? But keep in mind, they had kept them out. You know, three straight red zone trips, they had kept them out. That was dominant enough. So then the offense goes out there, and you're wondering, what can you do with the passing game against the Steelers' defense? They need it.
Right.
You know, run, run, run. 12 straight plays off the four-yard line. I can't remember a time I have ever seen that. 18 fourth-quarter runs, two dominant personality traits, one on each side of the ball. I can't recall that ever being the case here.
And you had the wave.
Yeah.
All you need is the wave.
Yeah.
it was impressive.
I'm surprised you have a T-shirt on that already.
It's what they want to be. And what's impressive is 4.5, even 4.75 games, they said in the offseason what they wanted to be, and they have been able to play to that in 4.5 of their games. That's unusual in this league.
Now, do it again.
Absolutely.
You got to do it again. If that's what you are, if that's what you do, now you have to do it again. All right, two big things down, one more to come. But first, coffee with the head coach. Doug Marrone joins us next on Jags Drive Time here on a beautiful Friday morning at Everbank Field on TuneIn Radio.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time here on Friday morning on TuneIn Radio. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashton Sullivan, and head coach Doug Marrone. Hi, Coach. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Last week in Pittsburgh, Tyler Shatley made the start. Played pretty well, it seems. What's your analysis of how well he played? I've got to tell you the story. 2 years ago, at the end of that game in Nashville, that high-scoring game in Nashville, I was talking with Todd Walsh, and we were just talking about the offensive line, and he was saying, I don't know what they think they're going to do at center around here, but that kid Shatley, I think he can play. And so I was leaning back on that, watching him, thinking, yeah, Todd was right.
Well, I think that, you know, Tyler's done a great job. And again, he wouldn't be on this team if we didn't feel like he can step in there and play. And that's the one thing, you know, we feel like, I know that's always been my philosophy, is that if we're going to keep someone on this football team, we've got to get them ready to play. And then when they get in there, they have to take advantage of the opportunity. So Tyler's done a good job of that. We're very fortunate, you know, that he can go in there and play at a high level. He works extremely hard, both on the field and off the field. So it doesn't surprise me for him to go out there and get a consistent game because of the way he's worked hard to get to where he is.
Maybe I was impressed because it's Pittsburgh and they do so many things up front. I mean, the center's really got to be on his game in Pittsburgh against the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think like he prepares himself. I go back to the player. The player prepares himself. You know, even though, you know, when Brandon Linder was healthy and playing, Tyler Shatley still prepared like he was going to play the game. And that's one of the things that we tell players all the time. So, you know, he's working the mental part of it just as hard as Brandon is. The thing that happens to those players is he doesn't get the amount of looks during the week because the starter gets the looks. So it's a little bit more difficult for them to do it. But we were fortunate to have Tyler, you know, practice that whole week, see all the looks and go out there and play. And it's good to feel comfortable about putting someone in there and you don't feel like you've really lost a lot.
There's been talk this week about the 18 runs in a row. And I know we're looking back a little bit, but you talked this week about the need and I guess the difficulty of being disciplined in play calling and just sticking with that. You've been disciplined all year with it. Is that difficult? And I guess how difficult is that sometimes?
Well, I think it's, I mean, as a play caller, it's very difficult. I think, on both, all three phases really have done a good job, in my opinion, you know, as far as the discipline of the call and what we wanted to do. Obviously, when there's some calls, there's about, you know, like I always say, there's about 4 to 6 calls a game. After you get through the tape the next day, you're like, gosh, I wish I could have done something or made a different call, you know, to put the players in better shape. But it's a chess game throughout the game of, you know, what they're looking for, what we've seen, trying to change it up, trying to just throw people off rhythm. Those things go on. But I think in this league, you know, I think it's difficult. You know, when do you take that shot? When do you throw that football? What do you do? I think you need a discipline. But the one thing about our three coordinators that I know I appreciate is that, you know, we all understand that we work together in helping the team win, and we're not three separate entities out there playing independently of each other.
What does it do for the offensive line to be able to run the ball 18 times in the fourth quarter? That 12-play drive, and I don't know how much confidence plays into it at this level. Professional athletes should be confident, but I got to think these guys think they can do it again and again and again after that.
Well, I think it's always important. I think as any offensive lineman, you know, and being a former offensive lineman, you like to, you know, put your hands in the dirt and go run the football and, you know, just be able to come off the ball. So I think there's a mentality in that. I think it's also, you know, something that's going to help you. I think that, you know, if you can just keep coming off the ball and wearing a defense down and keep running the football, you know, it does make it much easier, you know, to throw the ball later on because, you know, those defenders are worn out. We used to say, you know, when we played some top pass rushers and I was a line coach, I would say, hey, listen, if you want to do a good job on third down, you know, you got to do a hell of a job on first and second and wear him out, you know, because all of a sudden third down, those pass rushers start to amp it up. And it's, you know, it's difficult, you know, to block someone coming off the edge. That's a 4'6". He's 260 pounds. You know, he has speed and power. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, we'll have some challenges this week, both on the outside, but especially on the inside with Aaron Donald.
It's easy in retrospect, and you guys talked about in the offseason the kind of team you wanted to be. And it's easy to see. It's a running team and plays defense. But how important was it for you to establish that identity early in the season? And I know you talked about it, but it's a different thing to talk about than actually do it on the field.
Well, I've said it many times. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, we go in with a plan and a philosophy and what we want to be. And we pretty much, you know, we'll say it, but not really harp on it externally. Meaning, because the problem that you have at the end of the day when you talk about identity is, you know, the consistency of 16 weeks and your identity will be defined at the end of the season. You know, if you go up there and you say, coach, hey, this is what we're going to be. This is going to be our football team. And you don't go out there and play well or play to that that identity, you know, then all of a sudden, hey, you know, what's wrong with your team? You know, we've set a standard of what we would like to be, and we work to get to that standard. We practice to get to that standard, but yet we still understand that the performance on Sunday will – That's how we'll be graded on the identity of what we're trying to accomplish.
Seems kind of strange to, even though they've been back there, to say Los Angeles Rams again, you know, to see, and they come in all the way across the country with a football team, obviously, coach that's 3-2. What have you seen from Jared Goff?
Well, I've seen a player that has a great command of the offense, that feels very comfortable and knows exactly what he wants to do with the football. His quarterback rating has been outstanding. His third down percentage has been outstanding. I think that they have a lot of weapons. I think they've done a good job with their offensive line. They have two veteran players that they've acquired with the center and the left tackle. I think that's really helped them quite a bit. I think Gurley's one of the top running backs in the league. You know, you have to keep him inside. They have someone like Tavon Austin that you have to keep your eye on that can break through. And then obviously I have a background with both Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, and I have – you know, all the respect in the world, and I know exactly what those guys can do, and they're both dangerous. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges. You know, it's like, where do you start? You know, okay, well, let's start taking away this. Okay, well, if we take away that, now this is going to be given up. So, you know, it'll be a great challenge for us. We've gone through some challenges already. Last week was a good challenge, and this week's even a greater challenge. So, you know, we're prepared for it. We practiced hard, and we've got to get out there and perform.
How good is Aaron Donald? But he's not the only guy on that defense, is he?
No, he's not. And you know, but he's an elite player. He's one of the top, if not the top, you know, interior player in this league. You know, from a standpoint of playing run and pass, and someone I have a background with when I was a head coach at Syracuse. He was at Pitt. He's an outstanding player. You know, the other defensive end, Booker's. He's really good. I mean, I remember watching him last year. I was like, who is this guy? You know, and I'm like, holy cow. You know, and then all of a sudden they come up on a schedule and you look at him and, you know, Quinn has been, sure, you know, an elite pass rusher for a long period of time. Ogletree just got a big contract, a well-deserved contract. He's a heck of a player. You know, Barron, we'll see if he's going to play. He hasn't practiced this week. He's another good one. And then, you know, Tremaine Johnson on the outside is one of the elite corners. So, again, they have personnel back there. They have guys that can make plays. They have guys that can, you know, cause, you know, really take a game over. You know, and Aaron Donald is the type of player that can take a game over, and we have to make sure that we do a good job of making sure that doesn't happen.
So, final thought, Coach. John and I have had this discussion going back and forth about the home field thing all week long. John doesn't see it as being that big of a deal. I tend to think more about it as an opportunity. You don't want to miss these opportunities at home. Tell us your thoughts on the whole home field thing.
Well, I think in order to be and this is a proven fact, in order to be a playoff team, the average playoff team's record at home is 6-2. So, you know, in order to do that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, win that percentage amount of games at home. So, you know, it is important. It's a little bit more difficult on the road when you go on the road. And, you know, I think that's why people say, you know, home field advantage. But, you know, I tend to think that, you know, there's challenges with both playing on the road and playing at home. You know, playing on the road, you know, you're challenged by, you know, the crowd and just being in a different environment. Playing at home, it's, you know, families coming in, you know, who's staying at what hotel, where we're going to dinner. You know, there's a lot more logistics, you know, to the players and even the coaches when it comes to that. And I learned a long time ago, you know, when I first came in this league is you know, I try to treat both the same, home and away. So home games, I don't handle anything. You know, I'm just focused on winning and playing the game and, you know, tickets and all that other stuff. That all goes through my wife.
Now, I didn't say home field wasn't a big
deal. Well,
I didn't say
you said
he's
that.
He's 1-1 at home, my point.
Right.
It's not like they've been terrible at home under Doug Marrone was my point.
I think you said it was just the whole thing was overplayed in terms of the Jaguars' record
right.
at home
this
recently.
Team would be fine at home. We just have
right.
to establish it.
So. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, because most –
come on.
It's like most coaches. I mean, you know, and a lot of coaches have said this. Hey, win all your home games, split on the road, you know, and you'll be fine. You know, but, you know, you want to make sure that you can win at home. You want to make it in a tough environment because it does – it does restrict you, things that you could potentially do when you go into another team stadium. And the biggest one is cadence and rhythm, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, you really have to work on because now you're working on silent count and things of that nature. So, you know, there are things that restrict teams of what they may or may not be able to do and just take some a little bit out of a comfort level. Like if you ask me, I mean, I'd much rather use a cadence than a silent cadence, you know? So, you know, things of that nature come about. And then, you know, really down here, there's not much with wind or sun and things of that nature, but that comes into play in some of the away stadiums. And that's why, you know, a lot of times we kind of track that stuff of, you know, wind, dead zones, what areas are tough, what areas are tough with the sun, you know, how, and that plays into take the ball, not take the ball, you know, which way we're kicking. So there's a lot more that goes into, you know, this game than just, you know, throwing the football out there and just going and playing.
Right. Roll them out and play.
Yeah.
All right. Coach, thanks so much for your time
great.
This morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Friday, and we'll be back with one more segment of Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio right after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go!
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time, here with your third big thing, and it's a pretty big one. The Jaguars, they're relevant again, and it feels nice. ESPN was here this week, NFL Network was here this week. It's all that comes with a winning football team, guys.
You're right, and more will come if they win this week and continue to win, and that's... It increases, obviously, the visibility, John, the respect factor that fans are so desperate for. But I have to, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mischaracterize you. I didn't think I was. I thought I was taking it nice and easy. You know, he doesn't think the whole home field story is a big
deal.
You
want to go? Is that where we are?
Well, you're wearing
then?
Your red shirt right, this yeah, week as opposed right. to the green one.
That's
so
right,
yeah,
ready.
You got a little more intensity.
All right.
But so the whole relevance. I don't expect you to forget. The whole relevant thing, it creates a workload, too. All of a sudden, you got those guys around. ESPN's
yeah.
here. NFL Network wants you more often. From a player's perspective, there's more of a media obligation that comes with a winning team.
It is, but I think this team's, obviously Doug is going to set a tone where that doesn't get, I think, mixed up in the system where you're not going to read your own headlines and that sort of thing. And I think there are players on this team, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, who deserve recognition, if that's a thing. Who can handle it. I mean, I don't think Leonard Fournette with his background and Jalen Ramsey with his background is going to get too caught up in the fact that somebody on ESPN is talking
sure.
about him. You know what I mean? So I think it's deserved. I think they expect it. I think they know it comes with the territory. I don't expect it to have any sort of let's get the radar in the wrong place sort of effect this week.
All right, back to Ashlyn. Time now for Ozone Snapshot. What you got for us, Ashlyn?
Our first one from Mr. Padre from Kingsland, Georgia. In your opinion, is it simply a coincidence that this team has struggled to win at home? Guys, maybe it is just a coincidence.
It's absolutely. Well, I would say coincidence. They've been bad. They've been bad on the road. They've been bad at home. They weren't bad in London. But other than that, so Doug's 1-1 here. They beat Tennessee badly on Christmas Eve last year, and they lost to Tennessee when it got away from them 2 or 3 weeks ago. If they continue to improve and play like they're playing, the record at home will begin to reflect that, and then it'll get better, and then you'll establish the bank as a home field advantage. You've been here when it's loud. You've been
sure.
here when the home field is real. It will be real here as soon as the team deserves it to be.
I see you, though, using the Ozone questions to advance your narrative on the week. I admire that.
Well,
I appreciate
it's
a, is there anything else relevant?
These home fields not
got?
Important.
Anything else on the snapshot?
This is pretty relevant. This guy Tony from Jacksonville, he's got a plan apparently. Trade Bortles for Eli Manning. Great idea. I'm sure New York would be open to that. Maybe we can get them to throw in a few draft picks too.
Well, that Tony hit the nail on the head. I mean, as we've been talking about all week, the whole Eli Manning thing. I get that it's a topic. Sure, why not trade for Antonio Brown and see if they can go get the best kicker. I mean, of course you want these guys. But trades in October for big-time quarterbacks, I just don't see it.
That's unprecedented. I mean, you've seen players go, positional players around, but for a Phillip Rivers or an Eli Manning, even though if the situation in San Diego or New York seems to make complete sense,
mm-hmm.
and it does in both cases, New York in particular because of Tom Coughlin, that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, and again, you're talking about guys who are, and you mentioned Rivers. Even beyond the Alex Smith thing at the end of the season, you're talking about Rivers and Manning, guys who were tied to a decade and a half of their franchise's history. I don't see it happening.
No. All right. Time for he will, he won't, he might. I normally go first.
But you will go first, this, Brian.
I want you to go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn into more Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye.
All right.
They will be huge factors in this game, obviously, because this team needs to create turnovers to win. They won't, as a secondary, get four this week. You know, the four last week obviously turned the game. That's an outlier. You're usually talking about an interception that forces one or two plays, meaning you might get interceptions, but they're game turners. So even one or two changes the game. They might, as a duo, be on their way to defining this franchise for a long, long time. And that's significant. I've always been a, you have to rush the passer to create the kind of havoc that you need to create. I thought it comes from the pass rush, covering Tony Brackens, covering Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney. I've seen the pass rush making a difference. This year, it seems like the Seattle mode, cover and get better because of that, is changing the direction of this franchise. So I was
okay, fine.
Wrong.
John Fonzarelli there. All right. Ashlyn, you have no idea who the Fonz is, so you probably didn't get that reference.
No, I was just laughing at John saying he was wrong. I thought that was funny.
Well, enjoy it because you won't hear it again. At least I don't think that
it won't
will.
Happen again, Brian.
I love it. Ashlyn, what you got for us?
Now, I know this is a simple pick, but we haven't even talked about him yet today. Blake Bortles. He will. I think he continues to not be as prominent in this offense this week. They have a run-first offense. I think they will continue to use that because why change something that works? Only threw for 95 yards last week in the second half. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 312. I think he continues to not be as prominent, and I think he's okay with that. He won't. I don't think because of this run-first offense, he doesn't throw as many interceptions. That was his biggest problem. When you take away him not getting the ball as much, you take away the interceptions. Perfect plan, if you ask me. He might be perfectly okay with this plan. I mean, run-first offense, he said post-game against the Steelers that he was perfectly okay with not getting the ball in the second half because the team won. That's all he cares about, apparently, is that the team wins.
Ashlyn, thank you very much. So I'm going with Tyler Shatley. And I'm assuming that he's going to play again this week because Brandon Linder hasn't practiced. And so using that assumption, I don't know what he does today, but using the assumption that he starts, I say he'll be prepared again. Last week impressed me immensely. I've been to Pittsburgh enough. I've seen what they do with that scheme. The center is generally overwhelmed, even a good center overwhelmed with the amount of information he has to process. I anticipated there would be some mistakes. I watched the game from the field, watched the game on the tape, didn't see any mistakes. He'll be ready to go again this week. He is one of the strongest guys in the locker room. He also is an engineering grad, so he'll be ready to go from both the physical and the mental side. When you're talking about your best offensive lineman, Brandon Linder, being out, normally you get nervous. He will keep people calm based on the way he played last week in Pittsburgh. He won't see much of Aaron Donald. Donald, the best interior defensive lineman in football, doesn't line up in that zero technique very often. He's generally in a wide three outside the guard shoulder, interior of the tackle. But he will see Michael Brockers, who is a big body, a former first-round pick. The guy is a very talented football player, and that means he will have him sometimes in that cocked zero position, and he's going to have to be ready to go just like he was last week. He won't see Donald, but he'll have plenty on his plate, and he might be earning himself a nice contract in a league that is starved for good offensive linemen. Just look at how few there were in the first and second rounds drafted, how many free agents never hit the market because their teams kept them. I mentioned to Doug, Todd Wash told me 2 years ago in Nashville, that kid can play. He's proving it right now. The Jaguars would be wise to keep him. Can't keep everybody. This might be the moment where Tyler Shatley is earning the kind of contract that players only dream about. Key moment for him. So there you have it. He will. He won't. He might.
I might.
You might do what?
You never know. I can't say.
All right.
I won't say. How about that?
I will say thanks for joining us again this week.
Absolutely.
So, for John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, and Pat Cavanaugh, have a great Friday, everybody. Thanks for joining us on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio.